right, let's get into our Sabbath school lesson. It's kind of an interesting one in a way. It's an old story about an old boy named Saul. Now, what I want us to see is how does Saul's experience relate to us? For you see, if the stories in the Bible are just stories of interest, and we just read it like we would any other book, it really has no meaning to us. As you know, our philosophy in this class is that every story is not about Saul, it's not about David, it's not about Job, it's not about Adam, it's about God. And so we want to look at this story, and what does it tell us about God? Come in. Second of all, what does the story relate to us? Because if it doesn't relate to us, we're really missing something out of the story. So let's take a look at Saul. First of all, Saul was a Pharisee. He did not live in Israel. He lived outside of Israel, and there's a nice long word that describes what he was. I couldn't pronounce it, so I wasn't interested in it. So the only thing that we need to know is he lived outside Israel, but yet he was a Jew. And he was a Pharisee. Now, who knows anything about the Pharisees? What was the characteristics of Pharisees? Does anybody know? There's two or three that's very important to understand what a Pharisee was.
Or tradition.
Pardon?
Tradition was made for them.
Absolutely. One of the most important things was they knew the Old Testament, the only scriptures they had, backwards and forwards. They could quote it verbatim. Come on in. See, where do we have? We have two seats over here. Y'all don't have July birthdays, do you? Okay. Well, we got... we don't have that. Do y'all have a bulletin? Well, good. Our class hands out free bulletins. They sometimes charge $5 up front. For you, they're free. Introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from.
My name is Anna. This is my husband, Edgar.
And where are you folks from?
South Dallas.
Where?
South Dallas.
South Dallas. What brought you over to Arlington today?
Well, we are starting to come to this church.
Oh, well, good. Well, fantastic. Well, we're glad to have you. Do we have anything else to give them, Sue?
Somebody's Bible over there.
Yeah, we don't know. We do pay people to come to our class. So here's a dollar. Thank you very much. Pharisees were the most religious people of the Jewish sect. They had it down. They knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. They understood the writings of the Hebrews, the Talmud, all of the things. They had them fantastically down. Could quote from verbatim. They were the experts on the Bible. If you had a question about the Bible and the interpretation, you went to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees would be glad to tell you that they were the only ones that really understood the message of the Old Testament. Does that sound like anything that you might be acquainted with today?
Yeah.
The only ones that had the full interpretation of the Old Testament. Come in. Here's a dollar. Right. How you doing, man? Good to have you folks here. Sue, water for lunch.
Yeah.
Number two characteristics of a Pharisee, not only were they the great scholars of the day, the religious interpreters of the Bible, they were focused only on themselves. if you were not a Jew and did not adhere to the teachings of the Pharisees, how much of a chance for eternal life did you have? Absolutely zero. So therefore, preaching to the Gentiles was what?
Waste of time.
Useless. Waste of time. You only worked with the select that was going to be saved and be approved by God. So Saul comes in and he fits into this group really well. Now, when is the first time that we meet Saul? Does anybody remember? Stoning of Stephen. Now, Saul must have been a junior Pharisee in the ranking because he did not get to throw stones. What did he do? He was a coat holder, hat check guy. If you read in Acts the stoning of Stephen, and you watch Stephen's reaction, you hear Stephen's speech, you read and hear Stephen's prayer, you hear Stephen saying, "I'm looking up into heaven and I see Jesus at the right-hand side of God." By the way, for those in the sanctuary deal, that's a very interesting quote if you put it into perspective at that time. My question was, how could you not be moved by the way that Stephen accepted his death? How could... Come on in! Now this lady doesn't get a dollar. She gets a hug.
Oh, good.
She's one
Thank
of my
you.
Favorites. I know you're not supposed to have favorites in your Sabbath school. But you're not supposed to have favorites as grandkids either, so that's the way it works. How you doing, Lisa? Lisa, can we get you a better chair than five of them? Okay. Okay. Pardon?
There's an extra bullet.
Yeah, do you need a bulletin, Carol? Carol, see? This Sabbath school class fits in. How could you not be moved by the witness that Stephen gave as he was about to be killed? What do you think how could you not be moved? Why do you think they were not moved by that speech?
Their heart was hardened.
Yeah. It says that even as they listened to Stephen, the Pharisees put their hands over their ears so that they wouldn't even have to listen to him. But what was the classification of these people? Very religious. Very religious.
Moses was read and been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues every Sabbath.
Yep.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah. This was but we're back to Stephen. This was afterwards. Sin does not recognize any good. Sin is not logical. It is not logical to turn from Christ, the life giver, and be a sinner. It is not logical. You have to make a decision in order to live that type of life. These Pharisees were so focused on their own self-righteousness, their own philosophies, their own teachings, that when a man sat there and kneeled down and light shone upon him from heaven, and he began to preach, and he began to share a testimony, and he began to pray that would turn most people's hearts into at least thinking. They didn't even want to hear it, and they began to throw the stones. and they killed him. These were the same people that looked for the Creator of the universe to come, the Messiah to come, and when He did come, they crucified Him. If Jesus Christ is not the center of any message that we have, then we have no message.
Amen.
The devil delights in getting us to focus on anything other than the goodness of God, the kindness and the graciousness of God, on anything. We've all been on church boards, and if you haven't, you will be, where the church splits over the color of the carpet that's going in. I think it ought to be blue. No, it should be red. See, devil doesn't care. Anything focused except on God, he's winning. And so we're introduced to Saul, younger of the Pharisees, holding coats, while his fellow believers are stoning a righteous man. Now, it's important to understand that God had His eye on Saul for a long time. And one of the reasons we want to find out this morning is why. Why did God have His eye on Saul for a long time? So now Saul begins to rise in the ranks. And now we find Saul, what was his mission as a great Pharisee? A great member, we have him as a missionary. What was his missionary as Saul? What was his missionary job? Pardon?
Get rid of the Christians.
Yeah. You know, new way of evangelism. New way of evangelism. If you don't believe me, whop, go to prison. Yes.
Keep the church pure.
Yes. Got to cleanse the church. Got to get rid of the non-believers. Those that don't agree, we got to get rid so that we'll be on the right track. It's interesting with Saul, he was one of the first people that went and started persecuting women. Up until this time, it was generally men that were persecuted. But Saul, being the kind of person he was, being an equal opportunity employer, he began to imprison women as well as he did the men. And so Saul became a figure that people were absolutely scared of. When you heard that Saul and his group was coming to your town, the only things that you thought of was fear. So Paul now, he wants to go to Damascus. Damascus was a stronghold of Christianity, and he wanted to go tear up that bunch. He got the proper authority, authorization, and now he's on his way to Damascus. And then what happens to him? Pardon? Speak up. What happens to Paul on the way to Damascus?
Struck blind.
What's that?
Struck blind.
Struck by a big light. Falls off his horse. And what does God say to Paul? Saul. 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 Why persecute thou me? Now, sometimes God is very direct. Sometimes God doesn't beat around the bush. Saul, why persecute thou me? What is Saul's answer?
Who are you?
Who are you? What does that tell you right there?
He knew the book, but he didn't know God.
Pardon?
He knew the book, but he didn't know God.
Yeah, no relation. When God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, Abraham, I think that you need to do with Isaac. Abraham had no questions. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. He knew it was God's voice. He had talked to God. Saul, when he was preaching, had no concept of who God was. And so when he hears God's voice, he says, "Well, who are you?" Now, Saul was the only one that heard this voice, because the men around him started asking, "Well, who are you talking to?" Now, my question this morning, why did God do this to Saul? Very dramatic. Have any of you been blinded? Have you, any of you on your way to driving down the highway, been blinded? Knocked off your horse? Got your attention? Why did God do this with Saul? Pretty dramatic.
Had to get his attention.
Who said that? Absolutely.
Saul was also very sincere in what he was doing.
Pardon me?
Saul was very sincere in what he was doing. He thought he was doing right.
One of the things that Saul was dedicated. Dedicated totally wrong, but at least he was dedicated. God got his attention. Yes, Leroy.
Saul thought himself to be a big man. I'm important. Fact is, I'm so important, I'm working towards becoming one of the Sanhedrin. But when this happened to him, all of a sudden he realized, I'm blind. I am nothing.
You see, sometimes our ego, our position, no need of nothing. Why does Jesus say through in Revelation, "I wish you were hot or cold"? Why does he say that?
He can work with you then.
Yeah, absolutely. You're counseling. How do you work with the person that comes in and says, "I really don't have a problem"? Yeah. You can't work with that person. I'm a sales trainer. The guy that comes in and says, "Well, I really don't need any help." Can't work with that person. Yes?
It's like a saying that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Yeah. I mean, you can't control that. And so he says in Revelation, "I wish you were hot or cold, lukewarm. I want to do what? Spew you out of my mouth." Actually means throw up. Did Paul believe that this was Jesus? He didn't have to. He was now humbled. Now, he's told to go, and then the Lord appears to Ananias. What does he tell Ananias? Tells him, "I want you to go down, and I want you to spend some time with my servant Saul, and I want you to take care of him." Now, you're a Christian. Saul's in the neighborhood. And you're told to go meet with Saul, what would be your reaction?
The devil talking.
Huh?
It's the devil talking.
You've got to be kidding me. This guy's here to kill me. And yet God says, "I want you to go down there." And they go down, and Ananias presents a message. Saul gets his sight back. My question again this morning is, why did God do this with Saul?
I think he knew that he was really genuinely wanting to do this, really wanting to know God.
He told Ananias, "Take care of this man. He's going to be a great messenger to the Gentiles." Now, my question this morning, and if you want to answer it, feel free to answer it. If you don't, I want you to ponder on it. But I want you to think, what experience or experiences in your life has God intervened and blinded you? What's the matter? Pardon me? I can't hear you.
I thought your nose was bleeding.
Oh. My nose is bleeding. Just shout it out. How about you? Have you had an Saul experience in your life? I think we all have. Because the great lesson of Saul is very, very simple. God will do whatever it takes to get your attention so that you will look to Him for your salvation. You are that important. Saul had a job that was going to be mighty. We all can't be Pauls. We all can't write epistles. We all can't be leaders. But everyone in this class is just as important to God as Saul was. And I invite you to look in your life and see, where did you have a road to Damascus experience? Because I guarantee you it's been there. Maybe not as dramatic. Maybe not for 3 days. Maybe not blinded. I can pinpoint several times in my life, but I can pinpoint 131 years ago where I heard God speak directly to me. And His last words were, "Don't go down that road. If you do, it will be hard. But I'll be with you." And I chose to go down that road. And it was hard. And God was with me. Would anybody this morning like to share, if you feel so, if you don't, not a problem, your road to Damascus experience? Because I know you've had them. Yes?
Actually, it's interesting. I hadn't been so busy.
Okay, nice and loud, because Roger back there is hard of hearing.
So, next month, been married 10 years, have 3 kids, 7, 6, and 4. And I'm a graduate student at UTA, so busy life and full-time work. And so I felt that in my family, we used to pray a lot together, but it seems like we've been so busy that we have not had time to do that on a daily basis. So my wife and I, we said, you know, we need to go to date night. And so last night was one of the date nights, and we went to Chili's. From there, we thought, hey, let's go watch a movie. And I know there's a movie my wife has been wanting to watch called Straight Out of Compton, but I don't think I want to watch that movie. So, but yesterday I said, well, let's go watch it. She said, no, we can't watch that. She said, I'd rather not, you know. And I said, well, can we... There's another movie that came out called War Room. So I've been hearing people talk about it, and I worked in there. I said, well, let's go watch War Room. So we went there and watched it. And it's amazing The Power of Prayer. If you haven't watched that movie, I would recommend you watch it, because it's not only about the conversion experience that, you know, the, like Paul, not only in marriages, not only in every, the devil is attacking us from all corners. And it's so important to know that no matter what the devil throws at you, when you have prayer, you're going to win. And what I realized that some of us as Christians, actually, we've been fighting the wrong fight. We're trying to fight maybe with our spouses or with our children instead of fighting the devil. I mean, through prayer. And that was, you got to watch that movie to really understand what I'm saying. Now, I had not read the lesson, and I did not know today we were going to talk about Paul. But when I saw the movie, the story of Paul and his conversion came to my mind. And it's been in my mind all through after that. And this morning, and so I want to share with my friends, hey, last night I had a road to Damascus experience. And then I get here this morning. I normally don't come to the lessons. I go to the youth, the preaching right now. But something told me, hey, go to that class today. So I just walked here. I went to that class on the other side. And I was like, no, let me go.
They don't even sing happy birthday over there.
So I came in here. And it's just amazing, like, when God wants to talk to you, He will do everything He can to specifically administer to you whatever He wants to do. So I'm so glad to be here.
Well, thank you for sharing it. Yeah. You see, not every experience blinds you and knocks you off your horse. But the experiences that God uses in your life tells you He cares, He directs, and He wants you to follow Him. Does anybody else have one that they would like to share? Anybody else? Okay. Next thing that we learn from Saul's conversion experience is that when Saul was converted and talked to by Ananias, he did not go and do the 20th century Bible course. He did not go to the church for teaching. Does anybody know where he went? He went to the desert. Who else began their ministry by going to the desert? John the Baptist, Jesus. Do you begin to see who the great teacher is? God has not asked you to be followers of people. God has not asked you to be a follower of our pastor Kevin Well in his sermons. He's not asked you to be a follower of knowing God's ministry. What He asks you is to study on your own and get to know Him on your own. Now, Paul had to go to the desert and rethink everything that he had been taught all his life. And who better to do it with than God and in prayer and in conversations? He didn't get it all right. Because one of the first things he came back was going to be a great debater. And he says, man, I got up there and I debated over these issues and I did fantastic. Still had a little bit of that. I did fantastic. And how many souls did he win to Christ?
Zero.
Zero. That's his report, not our report. And he says, I won none for Christ. And so from now on, I'm going to preach the only message that matters. And that's Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. And then he became a very important person in God's plan. The third lesson that I want us to... And I got good news for you. Y'all ready for some good news? You're going to get out of here early. Because I'm not feeling very good for some reason. I don't know why. Third lesson. Who did Paul, not Saul, who did Paul go back and preach to? That, and then where? He went back to the very same towns and churches and synagogues where previously he had walked in and killed wives' husbands and put husbands' wives in jail and made sons and daughters homeless. The same people. How would you like to be Paul and take the pulpit, and sitting there on the front row is a woman who says, "You killed my husband." That's exactly what he did. Let me share with you, the devil will continue forever to bring up your past. This lady in Kentucky that would not give certificates to people that wanted to get married. I have no comment on that. She worked for the government. But the first thing that came up was she'd been married 4 times. See, they brought that past up. Can you imagine the past they brought up on Paul? Let me tell you about our preacher today. 3 years ago, he came in here and he killed my husband and put my 2 sons in jail. And now I'm supposed to go listen to him? The disciples in Jerusalem didn't feel real comfortable with Paul. In fact, Barnabas was the only one that was even kind of halfway kind to him. But yet, Paul went back to the very same towns where, as Saul, he committed murder, mayhem, and put people in prison. Let me share with you, that's the most powerful testimony any man can give. We all have things in our past that we're not proud of. We all have things in our past that we wish could have been different. We all have a past that if we were on TV, "This Is Your Life," we would be very concerned about. But it's the devil that brings that past up to you. The goodness of God is very simple. He does not care what you've done in the past. He's going to come to you. He's going to give you an experience where that's knocked you off your horse, talk to you, convict you. Somebody comes by and says a word to you. You pick up and read a verse in the Bible. Somebody witnesses. He's going to bring something across in your life continually to where you stop. And then you have a decision to make, just as Saul did. Do I want to follow this voice? Or do I want to continue to do what I think is right? The ultimate proof of that is very simple. In the great panoramic view at the end of time, every person in this class will see how God intervened over and over and over and over in your life. And those that are righteous are going to be singing praises to Jesus. Those who have rejected are going to kneel down and say, "Yes, Lord, You are just." And then what's the next words out of their mouth? "Let's go kill the Creator." God is continually working in your life. Continually, thank goodness, working in my life. Every once in a while I hear God in mine in His own way saying, "Ernie, you've got to be kidding me." But I never doubt He's there. I never doubt He's working. And when I fall, I never doubt. He says, come on, get up. Let's keep going. Story of Saul becoming Paul's really nice story. Kids love it. Looks good in Bible books I used to sell. Makes a good motion. The bottom line, if you do not take the lesson of how much God wanted Saul to be one of His children and understand that God wants you with the same fervor to be one of His children and spend eternity with Him, then the story is just a nice story and that's it. I implore you today to take time to look back and say, God, I can see where You led me here. I can see where I wanted to go one way, You led me another. Because that builds a relationship. And remember this, God's greatest desire is that you spend eternity with Him. How can we not love and appreciate a God like that? My Father, it's good that we can come together. What a wonderful story of Saul becoming Paul. But You know, Father, You do that in our lives many different ways. The whole book is a story of how much You care. Whether we're Abraham and have problems, we're David and commit great sins, we're Jonah and we run, we're the prodigal and we hide, we're Saul killing, You're there. And so it is in our lives. How thankful we are that You love us that much. Be with this class. Give us strength. Give us a good week. May we uphold You and Your glory all week is my prayer. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.